It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
No Bernie Fratto today. Bernie's decided to take the new year for himself. With me, Brian Feldman, as he is regularly filled in throughout the basketball season when I can't make it, so I appreciate him joining me today. UNLV gets the win, 8-7 on the year now, 1-1 in conference play, and a solid win against a good Wyoming team here at UNLV, or here at Las Vegas, excuse me. Look at that, I'm already messing up. Not the intro that Bernie would have. Bernie would have an awesome intro. So what'd you think, man? I mean, that was a solid win against a good Wyoming team, and I think by far the best performance we've seen from UNLV.
No question, John. I mean, defensively, the defensive performance was great. I noticed a lot more activity. Christian Jones looked like probably the healthiest he's been this year. Javon Mooring definitely showed he can play the point position and penetrate when he so chooses. He just needs to so choose more often. But overall, John, I thought, without question, the best performance we've seen from UNLV this year. A lot of mistakes by Wyoming. You have to take that into consideration. But still, this is as much as you're going to see from UNLV, I think, at this point in time. Yeah,
I thought the biggest key for them coming into this game was the consistency. That was the word I used, right? Because we have seen multiple times throughout this season, you look at the Oregon game, you look at the Colorado State game we saw right before this one, you look at Kansas, either second half, first half, small stretches within those games that they played well, but they couldn't put a full performance together. Tonight, or this afternoon, I guess if you want to call it, they come out, they have a solid performance in the first half, right? Offense is flowing, they're using pick and rolls, they're getting balls to guys. Second half, they kind of, I think, believe Wyoming got off to like a 6-0 run right away. They kind of look a little nervous. Menzies takes an early timeout, and they settle down, and they actually get the win. And again, it's been one of the more frustrating things to watch when you see like Colorado State in the first half, you play so well, and then the second half, you get off to a rough start. Thought consistency was the biggest one, and I thought it was more on the offensive end, to be honest with you, because defensively, you still saw the same issues here and there. I mean, Wyoming has, I believe, 40 points in the paint. That was really troubling because that's something we usually see from this team. And I mean, look at, hey, this Dalton kid, he's like, what, 15 pounds, just driving to the basket every single time, getting it in. So there's little things that you saw that were still a little worrisome. But again, you're consistent on the offensive end. You're able to get the win and a very, very solid performance.
Well, I like the second half, as you mentioned. Yep. Yeah, Wyoming came out, started hot in the second half, but UNLV adjusted and settled down. Mm-hmm. I was very scared, as you were, after seeing the Colorado State game, that second half adjustments might be a problem for this team. They looked non-existent in that game. It almost looked as bad as the Arkansas-Virginia Tech game. Man, I mean, yeah. You talk about, it looked like UNLV football, I don't mean to say that, came out in the second half and played for Arkansas. I've never seen a tale of two different stories, but what I'm saying is, that was looking like UNLV. It was looking like second half, they just weren't making adjustments, and other teams were. Today, the second half, really looking at down the stretch, John, I couldn't have asked for more. To see UNLV, especially, Poyser hits his two free throws. Mooring hits all four of his. Yep. Uche hits his two. That is huge. I believe they only missed two free throws in the second half. This is something we definitely are not used to seeing at the Thomas and Mack over the last couple of years.
Yeah, 15-17 actually from the charity stripe in the second half. So they were definitely clutch in that regard. So let's stick with the offensive end then. We'll go around. We'll try to get in both offense, defense, individual players. So offensively, I thought in the first half, they really did a good job of actively trying to get Christian Jones involved. And Chris, before, you know, coming off of the multiple injuries that he's had, we saw him against Duke when he made his really brief appearance. He lacked a lot of physicality. And I thought today, they were like, look, I believe out of the first four possessions, Christian Jones got a touch in the post on three of them. So they were like, all right, you know what? We're going to run these pick and pops on the wing. We're going to get him where he's comfortable in the mid-range. And he showed that he would make Wyoming pay for it by getting him those one-on-one matchups in the low post. And he did. He was hitting mid-range shots. He was getting physical. And I thought that they did a really good job of trying to put that post presence in there because that's what they've missed these last few games.
There is no question. You have got to have Christian Jones perform well down low in order for this team to have any type of success. Size is, without question, an issue. We knew that all year. Coming in, we knew that size was going to be an issue. Now, without Dwayne Morgan, and it looks like for the foreseeable future, Christian Jones is going to have to be huge underneath. He's going to have to be very active on both ends of the floor as far as the glass is concerned, and he is going to have to be our big-time low-post player, and I say our, I mean UNLV, but he really does need to do that. And today, John, like I said, I think the real thing is I think he's healthy.
Yep.
You know, he looks like a little, he looked like a different player today. He looked energized. He looked, he didn't look gassed, no matter how long he was in the game, and I've seen that in the past where I don't know whether he was gassed or whether it was the shoulder bothering him. Now it looked like today Christian Jones is complete, probably 95% plus going forward, and that is going to be huge for the running Rebels.
Yeah, 15-10 was his final stat line, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 3 offensive rebounds, which was a big key for UNLV. They actually outscored them in second chance points, I believe, 7-2. Really active, and again, you know, the last couple of games we saw with Chris, you know, we saw it against Duke. We saw it against Oregon. You mentioned health, right? Because he kind of, he didn't want to get physical. He didn't want to back guys down. And it looked like he was still trying to get in the groove of things. And this team, when you're missing a guy like Dwayne Morgan, as you mentioned, you need that physical presence down low. And he fulfilled that. Shekna, he's still trying to get his feet underneath him. You know, he only played, I believe, I got the minutes right in front of me. Shake only played 10. He had foul trouble. He had 4 fouls. So, you know, you're going to need Chris in that regard. And as well, Troy Baxter, he played today. Offensively, Troy's awesome, right? He's got a really good game offensively, but you've looked at him a couple times and you've asked, like, man, we need a little bit more physicality out of you, especially when it comes to boards, down low game. He didn't really show that today. He had some dumb fouls. So again, Chris having great performance. As far as the front court's concerned, anybody else stick out to you?
Not necessarily. I thought Uche, you know, and we're talking, you know, backcourt, but yeah. I liked, he wasn't overly active offensively tonight, but he hit a real big three at one point in time where they kicked it out to him in the corner. Mm-hmm. He looks good. No, offensively and in the front court, no, but backcourt, I want to go to Mooring more again. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed his performance when he penetrated today. We have not seen that at this amount or with consistency as we did today. He penetrated, he passed the ball off, a couple of errant shots, one time in the second half he came right down and took that ridiculous three again, but Menzies grabbed him right away and said no. But I saw today, you know, I've been questioning it, John, I've been questioning, you know, how much time Mooring's been getting and saying, why don't you put Bush in more? We'll talk about this as the show goes on. You know, why aren't you giving Zion Morgan more of a chance? But today I saw, wow, without Mooring on the floor, this team can't perform. This guy's got to play. Mm-hmm. He does.
Well, and that plays into why they were playing so well offensively. I mean, it wasn't just Mooring. The ball was moving so much more today when it came in terms of offense. And Mooring was a big part of it. And it was just, they just seemed more active today. And I don't know whether it was just you're coming off of a big loss and you're embarrassed yet again, right? But the ball was moving. They were going from wing to wing. They were running ball screens quick. And there was no, there were some of these possessions. Now, when it comes with Mooring, some of these possessions where it's just kind of like idle dribbling and you're like 10 seconds in and it's like, okay, can we run something here? We need to do something. There were a couple of those today, right? They were still there, but the ball was much more active today against Wyoming, and I thought that was a really, really good thing because, like I said, it wasn't just him. Clyburn had some good assists. Uche found some guys, and it led to wide open shots, especially from beyond the arc, and they finished 7-22. Which is not terrible, but right around average, 33%, and you hit your shots, which is something that they needed.
No question about it. UNLV is going to take their threes, and that's just the way it's going to be. This is something they're going to do, and it's exciting, and you were talking about that, like the no shot,
yeah.
Where people, a lot of people say the no, and I really like the way you put that before we got on the show today, because it is a lot of the no, yes, but in this case, don't get excited when you see a 30-footer go down.
Yeah, right.
It's not a great thing, because what it does is it starts letting someone like a Terrell Green or a Javon Mooring think, oh, man, I can hit these all day long. Look, if you were a 35% three-point shooter, you're among the elite three-point shooters. That's 35%, meaning you can't live and die by the three. But this team is going to chuck up 17 threes plus a game. That's going to happen. You've got to get used to that. Hopefully, they're more at opportune times, or maybe when the shot clock is winding down and it's a kickout where you have no choice but to take a three. And we saw some of those today. But that is kind of the nature or the identity of this team right now.
Mm-hmm. Fellow backcourt mate, Jalen Poyser. He actually, surprisingly, and you'd be like, yeah, you should know this. I'm looking at his stats. I did not realize he had 14 points. He is one of 5 guys in double figures today. And it goes to back towards the offense and the balance that they showed. It wasn't just one guy taking over, right? It was multiple guys scoring in multiple spots on the floor. And, you know, Jalen, not a great night from 3, 2 for 8, 4-17 overall from the field. I'm looking at Green, aren't I?
Yeah, you're looking at the wrong guy.
He was 3-9. He was actually 7-7 from free throw. Look at this.
That's
key. Go ahead.
He's getting himself to the charity stripe, and he's capitalizing on those opportunities. He's the best best free throw shooter on the team. And again, John, I was really impressed with him at the end of the game when they put him on the charity stripe. Granted, he's the best free throw shooter. You say you want him on the stripe, but there are times he still looks out of sorts on the court. And I really think, man, if you could just make Jalen the consistent two, so much better. He's so much more geared up to be a two, and he's being forced to play out of position. And I don't think the yeoman or the armchair coach looks at that and realizes Jalen Poizer is a Division I college basketball player, and deservedly so. Anyone that argues with that doesn't know the sport. He deserves to be on the court. He deserves a scholarship. He's a two. That's the bottom line. And because of the situation UNLV is in, and because they're not going to have what's the kid that's coming out next year? What is his name?
Yeah, the kid they got redshirted.
Jordan Johnson.
Yes, there you go.
Jordan Johnson out of Milwaukee Green Bay, and I think he played for didn't he play for Rob Jeter, was the coach at Milwaukee Green Bay, now one of our assistants. This kid's going to be the point guard, supposedly, of the future. He'll be a senior next year. But because we don't have him, we're relying on finding a point guard. This is going to be a discussion all year, John. We're never going to be able to get away from this. But again, Poizer's a two. Do you agree? Do you see? Like, he looks out of sorts so many times when he's asked to be the general.
No, of course. I agree on that. And, you know, a lot of the times, and I'll have to give Tyler Bischoff credit on this, because he had a good article breakdown just before the Colorado State game of just the two different games that Mooring and Poizer play. When Poizer is the point guard, when he gets those screens, he's looking to score a lot of the time. And I think sometimes you got to get a little bit better at, you know, learning to find guys as opposed to always looking to score. And Jovan does that. I mean, he doesn't have great passes, but he does try to find guys when he has that pick and roll, when he's trying to either kick it out or hit it to the roll man. But when it comes to Poizer, I agree with you. I think Jovan is the point guard. And Grimala had a great tweet from the Sun today. He said, Jovan Mooring is this team's point guard. He comes off the bench. You know, he doesn't start, but he's the point guard, and we saw it today when down the stretch he had the ball in his hands and he was finding guys. He had that great cross court pass for his final assist tonight. I think it was Tyrell Green who scored a late bucket. You know, I mean, Jovan is a guy who, he's up and down, right? Some nights you're going to be like, man, what is going on with this guy? But at other nights, like tonight, he shows that he can find guys, he can score, he can hit his free throws. I completely agree. I think Jalen's a lot better suited to play the two, and that's where he's more comfortable, and he'll get his open shots. He can hit his threes. I think I would want to see, I guess starting's not a big deal, but I would want to see them more go with the Jovan-Jalen combo starting as opposed to always putting Jalen out there right at the start of the tip.
I agree with you 100% on that. I know one thing Bernie would say, so I'll get out there. You can call in the studio line. The ESPN studio line is 364-1100. We'd love to take your calls. It is a caller-driven show. Please, by all means, give us your opinion. And I believe you can text us at
61987,
and you preface ESPN.
Yeah, 69187. But ESPN.
That was my dyslexia.
Yeah, so don't worry. I was reading Tyrell Green stats earlier when I was talking about Jalen Poizer, so that's all right.
Okay. But, you know, going with the point guard, and one of the things, and again, John, we both get these questions. You get them off the air as I do. I get them on my show. When you talk about the point guard, and you're going to go back, and people are going to talk, so you might as well get it out. Larry Bush and Zion Morgan, and the reason they're not seeing more minutes. Mark Anderson wrote a little article yesterday, I read it online, talking more about it, that Marvin Menzies is saying as they play better, if they play great in the 2 minutes they get this game, like Zion Morgan, what do you have, a minute, 2 minutes in this game tops? I know he came in with like 50 seconds to go in the first half.
Yep, only 2 minutes.
2 minutes. So if they play well, they'll get more. Again, all of us are saying this because we keep referring back to that Duke game and Larry Bush and the 4 minutes that he played on the floor. What I want to say to everyone out there, what Larry Bush did is he came in against Duke, probably not expecting to see the floor at all, and he played 4 serviceable minutes. He came out, and the main thing was there wasn't panic. His eyes weren't a mile wide open like, oh my God, I'm at T-Mobile Arena playing against Duke. He came in, and he played basketball. He played D1 ball as a point guard for 4 minutes, and he did his serviceable job. So everyone keeps referring to that. Menzies is seeing something in practice that is saying that 4 minutes, not that it was a fluke, but he's not our point guard right now and he's not capable to be. That's what Menzies is telling us by the fact we don't see this guy play every game. He didn't see a second today on the floor. So my point is, and I'm going to say this, and I challenge Marvin, open up practice. John, what do you think your opinion is? And we've heard Menzies talk about why he doesn't allow people to see practice, which would take the heat off of him and justify maybe not playing Larry Bush more, maybe not playing Zion Morgan more. If people were to see that in practice, the media, they'd be writing about it, talking about it, saying, look, we're doing the right thing. We're all here speculating because we don't get an opportunity to see more of that. What's your thoughts?
I mean, I agree with you on the fact that if the media, the collective we, you know, were available or we were able, excuse me, to see practice, obviously we would sit there and say, okay, we're seeing what you're seeing. But at the same time, I guess I can understand a coach saying, you know what, it's my program, I'm going to be secret, and I don't want anything to get out there, right? I mean, if something happens in practice, the media reports it, and then you get something loose, it's just kind of a personal, for him, it's a personal thing, right? You don't want to get any information out there. But he's going to have to deal with the questions, right, as it goes on. But he's also hoping that Mooring puts in more performances like this so he can kind of quell the questions and just be like, look, these are our guys. This is who we're running with at the point. We'll bring in Zion as a defensive stopper here and there because that's, I think, what he's best at. But this is the way we're going to have to deal with it. I mean, it's just a personal thing, right? It's just what he wants.
Yeah, and I can respect it, like you said, but he's painting himself into a corner by doing that. And I wish he would open up more. And talking about that, talking about exposure as times go on and being secretive, I want to ask you a question about Terrell Green.
Okay.
Terrell Green has definitely exceeded my expectations to this point this season because I really didn't know what to expect.
We haven't seen the kid.
So I'm happy with what I've seen. The errant threes are killing me as they're killing everyone else. Sometimes he makes them, sometimes he doesn't. But he's aggressive, and it's his mentality. But the last couple of games, today, okay, an okay performance. Against Colorado State, really a falling off performance. John, do you think it's the fact that Terrell Green just had a bad performance or maybe a couple of iffy performances? Or do you think it's the fact, to me, everything is seen. You can't hide anymore. In this world, whatever you do, especially in sports, is going to be seen. Every team knows now Terrell Green's the go-to guy at UNLV, and they make adjustments according to that. He can't hide anymore. Everybody knows that Terrell Green's a starter and one of the guys that's going to take perimeter shots for UNLV, so they're just getting out on him. They're defending him. I don't think it's him playing worse. I think now he has to adjust and understand that, hey, you've showed that you can play college basketball. They're going to start defending you. Beat the defense.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both, right? I mean, he's shown, too, throughout the season from game one up until this game today that he can expand his game. You know, he's not as perimeter-oriented anymore. He's taken it down low a little bit. So I think today, like today at the beginning of the game, he was really aggressive. He was getting in there, trying to get boards, trying to get buckets. And I thought today he was just pressing a little bit, right, to get back from that. I think it was 1 of 11 against Colorado State that he was on from the floor. So I think today he was trying to press and get a little bit, and he only finished, 14 points, 4 of 17. So just pressing a little bit. But again, we talked about the free throw shooting, 4 of 5. So when he got to the stripe, he actually had a decent time tonight. I think he'll settle down as it goes because offensively he's really talented. And like I said, you know, he has shown that he can improve his game. So I think today was a matter of pressing. Let's see what he does against Boise State, and let's see if he can actually go. Because I'm with you. I mean, I'm sure teams have. We saw it a little bit like Jalen, right? Jalen was the guy at the beginning of the season. He was the leading scorer. And then it looked like teams were kind of, okay, we know what Jalen's doing. Let's focus more on defending him. And then Tyrell kind of came out of the woodwork and was, hey, now I'm going to be the offensive guy. Now we're seeing the teams like, okay, we know what Tyrell can do, so who's going to be the next guy to step up and get some pressure off of these other two?
No question about it. And I really like the assessment. I think that is the case, and it is a combination of both. Another guy, yeah, we got to take a break. We come back. I really want to talk more about Shaq in the middle and experience how much that's going to benefit him down the road because I think that's the big thing right now. It's just an experience, and it's more and more game time. The more time he gets, the better he'll be.
Yep, 364-1100 is the number, 69187. Put ESPN on the front of your text. This is Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
All right, winding down here on New Year's Eve. UNLV gets the win over Wyoming, 81-75. 8-7 on the year. Before we went to break, I rudely interrupted you. You were about to make a point about Shaq Nnedumbeli.
No, I just was saying that, that Shaq, you know, a little hard on him, and I've been on my show as well. You shouldn't be. Mm. He's a freshman. He's tall. He's lean. He's going to get his blocks this year. He'll get some post play. He's just got to develop. Mm-hmm. He's a work in progress. I think he will be an asset to this team next year and for the foreseeable future. But the front court play, I mean, you got to have him. I mean, the bottom line is this kid is going to have to put in a lot of minutes and just develop. It's that old thing. You get better as you play, and he's going to have to do that.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of length and a thick, sturdy body, too. And like you mentioned, in 2-3 years, he's going to be a really dominating presence in their front court. Really excited to see what he develops into tonight. Let's see, 0 points, 2 rebounds, though. 4 fouls, so that's another thing that he's going to have to get used to, especially when he's defending. He's going to get a lot of foul trouble this year, and that's something UNLV fans are going to have to get used to. But as you mentioned, he's a project. He'll be better, and then who knows, in like, I don't know, 3 years, you'll have Twin Towers and Georgie Solanginin and, you know, Shake Nunn and Belly just terrorizing the Mountain West.
Hey, Baxter, in 3 years from now, I will be shocked if Troy Baxter does not become an NBA prospect. They say all the time, the only one I see on this team potentially would be him.
Yeah.
And he's got that body, he's got the length, and he's a 4-star recruit. I mean, he was by far, I think, the best recruit Menzies brought. Although, obviously, Chris Clyborn's great. But, you know, I really like the upside with him. Don't forget 364-1100. It is your show, so please, by all means, give us a call. Love to hear you chime in. John, defensively, I was talking before the game, and I listened to you and Steve prior to the game talk about the different defensive looks that UNLV comes up with. They started today in the man, and I really like when they play a man defense only because of the accountability of a man defense. They have to get out on your guy, and if one guy's going off, we know who the culprit is. We're in a zone defense, you can hide a little bit. And UNLV seems to slack on the zone defense, and especially dribble penetration just seems to not be a problem for anybody against UNLV when they're in the zone.
Yeah, no, it, to be honest with you, it's on both ends of the floor. Both defenses, either it's zone or man. I think they have trouble with this dribble penetration, guys attacking off the bounce. We saw it a little bit down the stretch. I mean, they were even letting McMenamin, who never even drives to the basket, they were letting McMenamin just get to the hole down the stretch tonight. But I'm with you. You know, when they played Kansas, that was my big thing. Was, you know, first half, it was a lot of zone, and they weren't really active. And when you're in the zone, too, it doesn't cause you as a defender to be really active because, you know, you have your spot, and you're just going – you have to stay in front of your area. But when it comes to man, you're a lot more active, and – the man defense was better against Kansas, and it was better tonight, too. And it just – I think they have the athletes to pull it off. I think they have a lot of good young athletes on the floor whenever they play. And so I prefer when they're in the man because in zone – and tonight the zone looked a lot better than it usually does. But the man just – I don't know what it is. They just defend better. You see guys jumping in passing lanes more as opposed to in the zone where they're kind of just letting it go around the wing and not really do anything. I'm completely with you. I thought today, though, they did a good job switching it up at random times, and they came out. And still, like we mentioned, though, the dribble penetration is what worries you. When guys attack off the dribble and you kick out – because there were a couple possessions, too, down the stretch today where I thought – Wyoming had quite a few guys open on the baseline, waiting for the bounce pass, but they would just bounce it off their shins. They weren't making really good passes. So I thought they got away, UNLV did, with some sloppy defense because Wyoming just wasn't into it.
UNLV got very lucky today. You're not going to see Wyoming be this sloppy. They're a veteran team. This was a very sloppy, unorthodox game for them whatsoever. We got a caller?
Oh, I think we do. Tim, what's up, man?
Hey, Happy New Year, everybody.
Thanks, you too. What do you got on your mind?
Well, I was at the game, and and it hurts what you guys said about, you know, missed opportunities for Wyoming. But when you look on paper, is this the best win of the season for the Rebels thus far?
Oh, I think.
Tim, I'll say absolutely this is the biggest win. Number one, it's a Mountain West Conference win. Wyoming was 11-3 coming in, and without questioning, the most overachieving team in the league. Matter of fact, I listened to Cofield and JVT last game, and I think you had Wyoming like third or fourth, and I'm thinking – John Von Tobel knows as much about sports as anybody in this town, but I was thinking about something like, I know they're 11-3, brother, but they were 10-3 at that time. It was before their win over Air Force. But I'm like, really? Fourth, third in the Mountain West? They lost Josh Adams, for God's sake, and that was without question their best player, one of the better players in the Mountain West Conference last year. How is this team going to be fourth? But were you looking at the record, or did you see something else? Because, John, I still have them down at about – and I went sixth, and only because of their record.
No, I like them. They're balanced. You know, you have multiple guys who score in double digits. Their leading scorer comes off the bench, which shows you just how deep they are. And they have a team that's really good at rebounding. They have a lot of length and a team that can control the boards. And they shoot a lot of threes. You know, but they just keep shooting them. Tonight, they didn't hit them. They hit about 33%, and I think that's what's helping. They run in transition well. I just think that they're deep. When you have a lot of bodies that you can cycle in and out, I think you're going to compete, especially in the Mountain West.
Well, as you said, they are – not only are they a sound defensive team, because Larry Shaik has always had sound defensive teams, and he's got a guy that comes in that's been with them for 5 years that has the same philosophy. But what I like about Wyoming this year, as you said, we didn't really get a good – it wasn't a good indication of – their abilities tonight, but they've got eight guys that can put it up from the perimeter, that can chuck it and fill it up.
They got a lot of guys. They got eight guys who can handle it and just
they
take
can
it
handle
up the
ball. Absolutely.
Their center Herndon, when he got a steal early on Jalen, he steals it and he's taking it on the fast break. I'm like, what is going on? We got one more. Kevin, you're calling a little late today.
Yeah. What's up? I'm sorry, man. I was just listening to you guys driving home for work. But first of all, Happy New Year. Glad to hear you guys talking on this day. But I thought it was a good win today for UNLV. We all know, like, you know, Manzi's got in late and, you know, he can recruit as well as he could if he got in a little earlier. But, you know, it's going to come down to coaching, man. I remember when Dave Rice once got hired, he had juniors and seniors, and it was an easier process, right, for Rice. But for Manzi, it's going to come down to coaching. And if they can overachieve throughout the next couple months, I can see them winning 7-8 conference games and, you know, getting that 4-5, the 4-5 or 6 seed in the conference tournament and possibly making some noise. But overall, it was a good game, and hopefully we get more wins next year, man.
Thanks, Kevin. Hey, you know, I think UNLV would surprise some people in conference. I mean, you don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but if they can put together – a performance like they did today, they're going to surprise some people, especially at the Thomas and Mack.
Oh, no question about it. And, yeah, it is going to be on coaching as time goes on, and we'll see what Marvin Menzies can do with this team. But the best win of the season for sure so far. And I don't know about when you say it was a good game. It was a good game in the fact that UNLV won. It was a very sloppy game. And as a matter of fact, John, I'm going to ask you, your MVP of today's game.
I'm going Jovan Mooring. I think that's really that simple, right? I mean, he proved that he was actually a point guard today. He took care of the I was about to say the football. We got this game on right in front of me. He took care of the ball. I believe he only had one one turnover to his eight assists. So I thought he did a great job today. I'm going to go Jovan.
You know who my MVP is? You're going to laugh, but my MVP of the game, without question, is Jason McManaman for UNLV. Okay. He is UNLV's MVP.
Yeah.
If I was to tell you before the game, okay, Chase McManaman is going to go 1-7 from the field, 0-5 from 3-point, and he's going to go 2-4 from the line. John, what would you have told me?
Yeah, I would have told you you're crazy. I think this is a
you
guy
you would have said, is he celebrating New Year's Eve early? Because he must be on something if that's going to be his statistics. Yep. It's mind-blowing that this guy had such a god-awful game. And trust me, just put it this way. If he has an average game and has his average point total, they win.
Yeah, and he's a guy that takes 74% of his shots from three, and yeah, he was not even close.
Oh, it was crazy. It was like another guy was wearing his uniform today.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of getting frustrated down the stretch. Like I mentioned in the last, like there were times where they were letting him get to the hoop, and I'm like, that's not his game. Stop. Just get a body in front of him, and he'll probably turn it over or something. But you can't let him attack off the bounce.
You cannot have Jason McManaman penetrating your defense. If that's happening, everyone around the Mountain West is going, Jason McManaman's penetrating UNLV. Oh, my God, are we? They're licking their chops, right? Yep.
Jerry, you call the Rebel Extra. What's up, man?
I just want to say, Rebels, good job. Great in getting an early win. Something the last 2 years we haven't been able to do. Remember, we got in a hole early last year especially. But we had exactly the same conference record, if I'm not mistaken. And the old Rebels with Lon Kruger and years ago, only a handful of losses in the league, whether it was with the Big West years ago or the Mountain West. And it's just a matter of one at a time. And I don't like the one-and-doners. I'm glad that era is over with. I'm actually going to give this group a big shot. It may take a while, but anyway, that's my comment. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Hey, to be honest with you, if you've paid attention to Marvin, he's had UNLV's name in some of the big name guys that have committed this year. I don't think they're necessarily none with one and doneers, as we've called them.
No one will ever be done with one and doneers. Are you kidding me? You can't have a successful D1 college basketball program without a couple one and doneers. Mm-hmm. I like seeing guys stay too. And that's what I love about mid majors and those conferences, and why you see that some of them make deep runs in the NCAA tournament. It's because they're able to recruit guys that'll stay 4 years. And when you get a senior-laden team of a Middle Tennessee State with five seniors, yeah, they might go to the Sweet 16. That's what makes the tournament so exciting. But in order to compete with regular Sweet 16 teams, with a Kentucky, with Louisville's, with North Carolina's and Duke, and by the way, I don't know if you saw all the teams that lost in the ACC today, pretty wild, but to compete with those teams, you have to have three or four one-and-doneers on your team. But, of course, as Jerry just mentioned, no one will forget last year's start, John. The 3-0 start in the Mountain West Conference cost Dave Rice his job and cost the hoopla that we've dealt with for a year now here at UNLV in the basketball coaching situation. So we won't forget the inept start last year. It was just a debacle. This is a nicer start. This is a good way to get going. And now we've got to turn the page to a game coming up Wednesday night against a Boise State team that only has one returning starter, but he's damn good. And they're bringing some donuts to the party on Wednesday night.
Yeah, Nick Duncan, a favorite of Cofield and company, who had a little run-in with social media, I guess, when he flipped off the crowd at Utah State. Late tip on that one, too, 8 o'clock at the Thomas and Mack Center. And like you mentioned, we talk about consistency with this team, right? You want to put 40 minutes together? Okay, so now let's say you put two games together, right? You put 40 minutes together tonight. So put 80 minutes together, go out against Boise State, and see if you can compete and get another win and just kind of start to compete within this conference. Because, you know, the conference, I don't want to say it's down, but it's very even in terms of top is not very far from the bottom. And I think a lot of these teams are going to be feasting on one another throughout the season. And I think it's going to be an interesting season in league play.
Oh,
he's going to be able to compete and take some games.
Well, I agree with the parity in the Mountain West. I agree with that. And I think, you know, hopefully today is somewhat indicative of what we'll see down the road with UNLV. But again, John, one of the things they have to shore up, and they're going to have to shore this up next week, and I don't know how you do it. The turnovers are going to kill this team. They kill you all. And the points off of turnovers, UNLV got fairly lucky today on points off of turnovers because it should have been greater. If Wyoming is shooting at a better clip as they normally do, this would have been a different basketball game. But coming up on Wednesday night, as we joke and laugh about Nick Dunkin' Donuts, let me ask you this. How do you defend this guy? Because you're talking about a guy that could play tackle on most college football teams that can shoot from the perimeter. Oh. How do you play this guy?
There's one strategy for Nick Dunkin'. Run him off the line. That's it. Because he's not going to attack you off the dribble. He's not going to finish. Just guard him off the line, run him off, and you're fine. Final thoughts on today.
Final thoughts. Very impressed with the fact that they got this win, and I don't think a lot of people thought they could based on Wyoming's record. Impressive. They've got to shore up a few things, as we know. And Boise State coming in, John, this is a winnable basketball game.
Yep, I completely agree with that one, and I'm with you. I was really impressed by the consistency. I keep seeing it or keep saying it tonight, but that was the one thing, because that was the biggest issue for this team, not being able to string together solid performances. Big win for UNLV, 81-75 over Wyoming. 8-7 on the year now, 1-1 in conference play. Again, as we mentioned, Boise State coming up at the Thomas and Mack Center Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Cofield and Company will be live from the TNM. Everybody have a safe and happy new year today. We will see you in 2017. Live and local programming returns on Tuesday.